Chapter 11. The Gospel reaches Samaria and Ethiopia. This chapter is based on Acts 8. After the death of Stephen, there arose against the believers in Jerusalem a relentless persecution. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Saul laid waste the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. RSV. Of this cruel work, he said at a later day, "I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I not only shut up many of the saints in prison, I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. When they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." Acts 26, verse 9 to 11, RSV. At this time of peril, Nicodemus came forward in fearless avowal of his faith in the Savior. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. As he had witnessed Christ's wonderful works, the conviction had fastened on his mind that this was the sent of God. Too proud to acknowledge openly his sympathy with the Galilean teacher, he had sought a secret interview. Jesus unfolded to him his mission to the world, yet still Nicodemus had hesitated. For 3 years there was little apparent fruit. But in the Sanhedrin council, he had repeatedly thwarted schemes to destroy Christ. When at last Christ had been lifted up on the cross, Nicodemus remembered the words spoken to him in the night interview. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." John 3, verse 14. And he saw in Jesus the world's Redeemer. With Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus had borne the expense of the burial of Jesus. The disciples had been afraid to show themselves openly as Christ's followers, but Nicodemus and Joseph, rich and honored men, had come boldly to do for their dead master what it would have been impossible for the poor disciples to do. Their wealth and influence had protected them, in a great measure, from the malice of the priests and rulers. Nicodemus no longer cautious and questioning. Now Nicodemus came forward in defense of the infant church. He encouraged the faith of the disciples and used his wealth in helping to sustain the church at Jerusalem and advance the work. Those who had paid him reverence now scorned him, and he became poor. Yet he faltered not in the defense of his faith. The persecution gave great impetus to the work of the gospel. Success had attended the ministry in Jerusalem, and there was danger that the disciples would linger there too long, unmindful of the Savior's commission to go to all the world. Instead of educating new converts to carry the gospel to those who had not heard it, they were in danger of taking a course that would lead all to be satisfied with what had been accomplished. To scatter his representatives where they could work for others, God permitted persecution to come. Driven from Jerusalem, the believers went everywhere preaching the word. When they were scattered by persecution, they went forth filled with missionary zeal. They knew they held in their hands the bread of life for a famishing world, and they were constrained by the love of Christ to break this bread to all who were in need. Wherever they went, the sick were healed, and the poor had the gospel preached unto them. Philip, one of the 7 deacons, was among those driven from Jerusalem. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There was great joy in that city. Christ's message to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well had borne fruit. The woman had gone to the men of the city, saying, "Is not this the Christ?" They went with her, heard Jesus, and believed on him. For 2 days Jesus stayed with them, and many more believed because of his own word. John 4, verse 29-41. When his disciples were driven from Jerusalem, the Samaritans welcomed them, and the Jewish converts gathered a precious harvest from among those who had once been their bitterest enemies. While Philip was in Samaria, he was directed by a heavenly messenger to go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. And he arose and went. He did not hesitate to obey, for he had learned the lesson of conformity to God's will. The Baptism of the First Person. From Africa.
And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. God saw that this Ethiopian of good standing and wide influence would give others the light he had received, and would exert a strong influence in favor of the gospel. Angels were attending this seeker for light, and the Holy Spirit brought him in touch with one who could lead him to the Savior. Philip was directed to go to the Ethiopian and explain the prophecy he was reading. "Go near," the Spirit said, "and join thyself to this chariot." Philip asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Response first. The scripture he was reading was the prophecy of Isaiah relating to Christ. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." "Of whom speaketh the prophet this?" the eunuch asked. "Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip, beginning at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. The man's heart thrilled, and he was ready to accept the light. He did not make his high position an excuse for refusing the gospel. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Angels still guide the footsteps of people. This Ethiopian represented a large class who need to be taught by such missionaries as Philip, men who will hear the voice of God and go where he sends them. Many who are reading the scriptures cannot understand their true import. All over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. An angel guided Philip to one who was seeking light, and today, angels will guide workers who will allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify their tongues and ennoble their hearts. The angel could himself have done the work for the Ethiopian, but this is not God's way of working. It is his plan that men are to work for their fellow men. In every age, everyone who has received the gospel has been given sacred truth to impart to the world. God's faithful people have always been aggressive, wisely using their talents in his service. The members of God's church are to be zealous, separating from worldly ambition and walking in the footsteps of him who went about doing good. They are to minister to those in need of help, bringing to sinners a knowledge of the Savior's love. such work brings a rich reward. Those who engage in it will see souls won to the Savior. Everyone who has received Christ is called to work for the salvation of his fellow men. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come." Revelation 22, verse 17. The charge to give this invitation includes everyone who has heard the invitation. Thousands who have heard the message are still idlers in the marketplace when they might be engaged in active service. To these, Christ is saying, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" And he adds, "Go ye also into the vineyard." Matthew 20, verse 6, 7. Long has God waited for the spirit of service to take possession of the whole church. When the members do their appointed work in fulfillment of the gospel commission, the whole world will be warned and the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with power and great glory. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24, verse 14.